If you look at the last 8 years, there's been five trophies, and the vast majority
I'm glad you looked at 8 years anyway, not three.
But don't worry, that's the first part of the question. I'm seeing it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Talk. Right, we are looking ahead to the weekend's football in the Premier League and in the WSL. It's time for Who You Got. As we do every week, we start by looking at the scores from last week. We have a leaderboard that goes with our predictions throughout the season. So last week, Phil had a big one. Himself and Will topping the table with 4 points each with four correct results. No one got exact scores right last week. Bad week for Ger down at the bottom of last week. Let's have a look at the overall table. As a result of that, Phil probably moves up from... Oh, sorry, it's Cullum at the base of the table. Phil is second from bottom. What's the issue here?
Hold on, what? Phil has 27 points now.
Yeah, you're on 16.
Well, we were level last week.
That's 17. I think that's a mistake.
That has to be wrong. We were level last week.
Okay, so he's 17.
You're 26 or he's 17. Okay. There's only a point in it.
So he's moved off the bottom.
I'd say just leave it like that.
No, I'd say bring it back to its actual rightful place.
So Jesus. 16 and 17 for Cullum and Phil, respectively. Shane, you're mid-table. As am I. Mick, you're up near the top, and I think Will is out on top, so we'll see if we can make
it. Hanging on there. We're kind of like I'm getting like top four scores every week. That's keeping me in like fourth place. It's really annoying. Need a big week.
Some risks soon. Let's have a look first of all at Everton versus Liverpool this week. Here are our predictions for the Merseyside derby. Of course, it's a 12:30 kickoff tomorrow afternoon. John is going for an Everton win. I love John.
John's going to win this whole thing.
No one's going for a draw. Everybody else is going for a Liverpool win. We will give you our own personal opinions on this and what way we think it'll go. All in favour of Liverpool, spoiler alert. But let's bring in Lee Phelps from William Hill. Lee, how are you keeping? So this week, obviously, we'll be talking about Everton versus Liverpool. We'll get to our charity bet in just a moment. We should mention before we get into this is that Liverpool provided a great win for our charity bet last week. Shane Hannan, the Monaghan Oracle. Managed to predict that Gakpo would score last week. So, Shane.
Yes, I am the Oracle. You should have come to me first, of course, because I'm the one who predicts these things. I just knew Gakpo was going to score. I should have put him to score first, though, in fairness. But anytime goal scorer, just had a feeling, you know, as he was in form, so.
Lee, if you can hear me now, guys.
Yeah, loud and clear, Lee. So yeah. we're just luxuriating in the greatness of Cody Gakpo and Shane Hannan's ability to set a future.
Honestly, when you said it, I was a bit like, okay, I can see why, but like I thought that's quite a brave pick. And when he scored, I was like, never in doubt, never in doubt. What a great pick! And I think that's two out of the last three weekends we've had winners when we've been on. So we're getting back into it. We've got a long way to go yet, but we're getting back into it. So yeah, all good. Let's go again.
What way do you see Everton Liverpool going yourself?
I think Liverpool win. I think it's an interesting stat around this game is that both teams to score no has landed in each of the last five head-to-heads. And actually, the away team has failed to score in those games as well. Now, I don't see it going that way for this game. I think Liverpool will want to get back on track. And I think it'd be interesting to see how Arne Slot goes with it because having seen his team concede three and maybe be fortunate not to lose that game in the end, I think, you know, we'll see what his coaching style is like. Will he now set them up to be ultra defensive and not concede at all? I can see Liverpool winning to nil, to be honest. That takes the price for Liverpool to odds against. I know it's always a dangerous game to play because, you know, a fluky goal from Everton or whatever can scupper your bet, but I think Liverpool win. They're 4-9 to win the game, so, you know, no surprise there. 18-5 the draw and Everton 6-1. I guess in these kind of games, anything can happen, but Liverpool have looked very good. Salah scored first in the last couple of times he scored against Everton. He scored two in his last three. They've both been openers as well. So I put a bet builder together, which is Liverpool to score over 1.5 goals in the game. Both teams to score no, and Mo Salah to score first. I quite like that. I think it's got a decent chance. I mean, I know some people will be a little bit worried about the idea of going for the kind of the win to nil element of it, but I think they'll get back on track here, Liverpool. What do you guys think?
Yeah, like we're all going for Liverpool in studio. No one is going for a draw on our team, except for John Duggan. He's the only outlier here who's actually predicting an Everton win. You talk about a potential of a fluky goal for Everton. I mean, do they have the best / oldest free kick taker in the Premier League right now in Ashley Young? I mean, you talk about fluky goals, to be fair. If you're scoring two own goals against an opponent, as he did against Wolves midweek, I think that's a fair point to make. Everton are better though, lads, aren't they? They're slowly getting places.
But they were during the week, like against Wolves.
Yeah. Mm.
But then it was reverse scoring against United last week. But Everton aren't bad at Goodison against Liverpool recent times. They've only lost one of the last seven of those derbies.
Right.
Including they beat Liverpool 2-0 in April at Goodison. Mm.
Yeah.
But the one thing I worry on their behalf is that they'll be like overly emotional tomorrow because it's the last ever Goodison derby.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're, you know, and like Liverpool are such an objectively better team than Everton, particularly even right now this season, despite what happened during the week. So I'd fear for them that there'll be like a red card in the 12th minute and everyone's going to lose their mind. And that's why I've gone for a comfortable 2-0 Liverpool victory.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that 2-0. I think if you, again, if you're looking at bet builders, you know, the way to push the price up on those is to put cards in there. So if you've got selections on cards, you know, it doesn't have to be a red, it can just be carded. You can soon, you know, put together a decent bet builder. And I think you're right. I think there will be emotion. Obviously, you know, I think Liverpool will come out on top, but anything could happen in this game, couldn't it? Interestingly, Ashley Young, by the way, 18-1 to score in the game. And I should mention before before we move on to anything else, obviously after the 12:30 game, we've got 3 p.m. kickoffs, and the top hacker this weekend looks really interesting. Still a part of William Hill's commitment to great prices this season. It almost landed the 3-3 draw, the Newcastle-Liverpool game, scuppered it in the week. And this one is Aston Villa, Man City and Newcastle all to win at 5-1. I quite like that. You know, I think Villa are back on track, and I think they'll win. I think it's a relatively straightforward game for them against Southampton. Whether you know Man City might not be quite back to their best yet, but you know they're at Palace, and Palace have been rubbish at home and don't score goals. 4 goals at home in the Premier League. I think City will just outscore them. Admittedly, Newcastle at Brentford looks tricky. Brentford have been great at home, but Brentford have unbeaten, but they haven't played anyone outside of the bottom 12. So, you know, they've kind of been flat-track bullies. So Newcastle to win at Brentford, City to win at Palace, and Aston Villa to beat Southampton is 5-1. That's the top hacker. What's okay. The bet of the weekend? What are we going for? Charity bet?
Well, I'm going to be handing this one over to Shane Hannan after his shout at Gakpo last week. What do you think, Shane?
To be honest, I was suggesting there before we started, United to beat Forest and both teams to score, Lee. Now that I'm on the spot, I'm like, I should stick with my random anytime goal scorer trick. I just have a sneaky feeling for Amad Diallo this weekend against Nottingham Forest. I just feel like he's involved in a lot of goals. He got a couple of assists last week. Nicks balls off players. He's a man in confidence. He only got the second half against Arsenal during the week. So
Amorim loves him. All the body language experts are saying that he was enthused by Diallo's play.
Yeah, this is it. So I'd love to. Yeah, if we can get tasty enough odds, I'd like to have a whack at Amad.
I've heard quite a few people talking him up as well, actually, and like being like really positive about his performances. It's amazing how that happens when you've got like a new manager comes in. I mean, like look at Rashford as well. He's been absolutely like a different player since the new manager came in. The Man United to win and both teams to score. Just checking that one now briefly. That is 23-10, so just over 2-1. They're 8-13 odds on to win the game. In terms of, let's have a look for Diallo here. 7-2 to score at any time in the game.
Go for that one, lads.
Shane's at the wheel. He's got his.
Amad any time, 7-2. Put it down.
Lock it in, Lee.
Lock it in.
I like it a lot. And remember, you get impact sub on your side as well. So if Diallo goes off and the sub comes on and happens to score, then your bet stays on.
Nice one. Well,
even if it's Anthony.
Yeah, after you get your money back in sympathy.
Yeah. Lee Phelps, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. And who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18 and visit gamblingcare.ie for more information. So there's no concern in the room whatsoever about the little wobble for Liverpool in midweek at all?
Not for me. I think that Newcastle played very, very well in the first half. That's going to be a hard place to go. I can't see, like, if, you know, either Alisson will be back in or Kelleher's not going to make that kind of mistake again. I thought Liverpool fought back well. They're not going to play brilliantly every week. And yet, Salah was electric. Alexander-Arnold was brilliant when he came on. Didn't play the whole game, don't forget. I'd have no concerns with that. That's not a collapse. They conceded a late goal. They also came from behind to go ahead twice. They drew away to a very, very good team who played well and don't every week. That's why they're so far down the league. So I think from Liverpool's point of view, I wouldn't have many concerns. There is another side of Colm's point about the over-emotion and drama, that the players might not necessarily be overly worried about that. It's so early in the season. There isn't, like, you know, they're not local. That part of the Goodison thing.
They don't care about the derbies. The professional footballers nowadays, the derbies mean less than the derbies of the 80s and the 90s.
I think less, but I don't think they don't care. But at the same time, I think the fact that we're this side of Christmas,
yeah.
I think to the fans it'll mean a lot. And if there's a good atmosphere and Everton are in it, that's the kind of thing where that could suck the ball over the line in the last few minutes. Or, you know, it would just, that kind of atmosphere 100% affects the opposition as much as anyone. Liverpool could sit deep, protect the 1-0 lead, put themselves in trouble. Those types of atmospheres do matter in football, but they need to. They're circumstantial. They need to. It needs to depend on Everton playing well for 80 minutes and being in the game. You know.
And of course, Mick, as you and I know, we had good trivia around the Everton goal scored last day. Of course, you boys would have been listening to the football show 2 nights ago, so you can just remind us all.
Of course,
Ashley Young is the fourth oldest goal scorer in Premier League history after.
Oh,
three others.
Yes, that I've mentioned on football show.
Well, I got two of these.
Fourth oldest. So, Giggs?
No. Giggs is fifth.
I said Milner as well.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Milner's younger, I think.
Is he,
than
right?
Young, yeah. He's not
Peter Schmeichel.
Like what? I thought you guys would be glued to the radio after 9
no,
o'clock.
No, I was
on
actually.
Wednesday
I just
evening.
Completely forget. It's funny.
Unbelievable. What was the other piece of trivia that I had for you on the night? Multiple own goals in a single Premier League match.
Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, is one of them. And there's two others that aren't.
Frank Sinclair.
No.
You'll never get the other two. Oh. They were ridiculous.
Well, what are the Ashley Young?
So, the oldest goal scorer ever in the Premier League is Teddy Sheringham.
I got that.
Second oldest.
Give us a hint. Second
oldest. He scored for Hull in November 2008.
Oh.
Dean Windass.
Correct. Oh. Yeah. And then the last one you should definitely get. He scored for Chelsea in April 2024.
I got this one.
April 24? Just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who left Chelsea in the summer? Hilario.
No. Thiago.
Hilario.
Thiago Silva.
Oh, class.
And then the multiple own goals. You've got Carragher. There's three others. One for Leicester, one for Sunderland, and one for Stoke City.
If you get the Sunderland one,
I'll
give you the money myself.
No. Irish.
Irish.
For who?
Oh, Johnny Walters.
Walters, and he missed a penalty in that same game.
Yeah, I do remember that.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Sunderland, Torre André Flo.
No.
Who, with position?
Titus Bramble.
No.
Position?
He was a defender.
You think?
I think.
I've
already forgotten who it was.
Julio Arca.
No.
McCann.
No.
McRae.
No.
Ray.
No.
Conor Ray.
No.
Craddock.
Alex Ray.
It was Michael Proctor.
Proxy.
And then finally,
Proco.
And then there was the other person who scored multiple own goals in the one game is Wout Fass for Leicester City.
Oh, Wout.
You never Ashley, even mentioned him the other night.
I didn't actually. I was looking at my notes from the other night and I read my notes
Ashley
incorrectly.
Young, like a hell of a week, direct free kick.
And the oldest player to ever score a direct free kick in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that's
like
my research. Stanley's drawn against his son in the FA Cup.
So who's his son play for?
Peterborough.
Oh, right.
Right, do you know what it is?
No.
Right? So Ashley Young's like 39,
yeah.
And the son is about 19 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So it's Ashley Young against I ruined it.
Wow.
You're on the radio here, Colm. I know you don't worry about this stuff in the morning.
Ashley Young versus Ashley Young.
Actually. Is that a joke?
Oh, dear God. Oh my God, we got so much editing to do on this. Wow.
Oh, I was so giddy with that. Like,
that was incredible.
When it came into my mind, though.
Ashley Young versus actually Young because his son is actually Young. God.
I was so excited.
That was shocking.
I was
dad
so
jokes.
Oh my God. He didn't even say actually properly. I didn't
know. He didn't actually. If you're to make an if you're to make an argument for Everton to win this game, you would say, right, Everton won the last Merseyside derby in April.
Ashley Old versus Ashley Young.
2-0.
Which one was it?
I'm trying to make a point here, okay?
In what sense?
So Everton won 2-0 in April, but they haven't won back-to-back you're starting me now. They haven't won back-to-back Merseyside derby since when? Since they're all in the stats. Everton?
I don't know.
84-85 season.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
They're very, generally very disappointing fixtures, I have to say. I'm not like
generally disappointing stats.
No, that's a good stat.
That too.
I'm generally disappointed. Like, it's not like you're not like, oh yeah, 12:30 tomorrow, Merseyside derby.
Early in the day doesn't help.
If it was at night time, maybe.
Pat Nevin made the very pertinent point on the show this morning that Liverpool's defensive frailty shown against Newcastle, albeit they've conceded less goals than any team in Premier League, but it probably gives other teams a little bit of
I wouldn't be mad about Kanate being out.
No, well, that's obviously a big thing. But 2-1 Liverpool, I think it went for. We all went for. Apart from John, obviously, Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick pick for sure for John Duggan. Let's have a look at Manchester United against Nottingham Forest then. this weekend. Everybody here is going for a Manchester United win. We're starting to get in line here.
The only person during the week, of course.
Everybody's also going for Manchester United to win and both teams to score, except once again for John Duggan, who's going for a Manchester United clean sheet. A clean sheet possible for United this weekend?
It is, yeah. But not according to me. 2-1. Yeah, I'll go for that. Chris Wood, like... I don't know how what his sleeping is generally like, but if he has a whoop or any other device, it's probably going off the charts there Wednesday night into Thursday morning, because he'd be replaying that chance over and over again. I wonder
other sleeping devices are available.
I'd wonder that, right? And I think if he had equalised there and Forest won all, I was like, I generally feared for City and Pep and his mental state. But as this transpired, they won handily.
And fear I do for, think that fear I, for the skin on his face and head.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's bad. That cleared up like instantly. So he, I know City aren't. We're not talking about them. So I think that'd be fine. Forest, I think, will have more than enough to trouble United. I just have a bit more faith in Manchester United under Ruben Amorim, and I include the Arsenal display, even though Arsenal were well deserving of the 3 points.
Mm. What about it gave you encouragement?
The first half, much more compact, and I know you don't necessarily need to be like that against Forest at Old Trafford, but the fact that they're playing much more as a team now, and we just haven't seen that from Manchester United in a long time. So they have two chances. It was what Diogo Dalot has, the kind of Snapchat which goes wide of the post, and De Ligt has the header which David Raya saves. So just one or two opportunities, but they kept Arsenal quiet for the bones of an hour, had more possession, looked much better. However, it's still at a fairly low base. Like for Arsenal, that was the equivalent of playing like a Fulham or a Brentford in real terms, what we're actually seeing in the Premier League this season. A good mid-table side who were fairly well organised, who eventually Arsenal break down. And I think United will have more to give against Forest than they did against Arsenal. But it's weirdly positive at the moment to United. And that's even considering what happened against Arsenal, their old rivals, who they lost very comfortably to for the fourth time in a row as well. Mm. And yet it's weirdly in the state of...
It's a rebuild, and I
agree with that, yeah. Because I think what if a good manager comes in and gets the most out of what he has an insanely expensive, even if they're not going to ever live up to it, he has an insanely expensively put together squad of good footballers. The easy part is to get yourself into a position where you're playing to your level and beating the likes of Forest and Everton. And then the hardest part is getting up to the level of the City's, Arsenal's, Liverpool's and on. That's going to take much longer.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't care at all about Wednesday night. That's, you're way off that. You know what I mean? You'll maybe get up for a one-off or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd rather be winning these games constantly, losing to Arsenal, than doing what Ten Hag did of like losing all these games, then winning the cup final by having one plan in the entire season against City. So I think that we also have to account for the fact that Forrest's form, despite... you know, what seeming like a decent performance against City, you know, that it didn't deserve to be 3-0 maybe, but their form hasn't been what it was. It's about both sides of the international break now. They've been slipping a little bit.
Just on that, I think you're right, absolutely, but I also think the jury's still a little bit out on it, because the teams that they've been beaten soundly by are Newcastle, Arsenal and Manchester City, and their ceiling is on a level above Nottingham Forest, you'd have to say. Just looking at the Premier League table at this point, Forest are now in seventh. They are... danger is too strong a word, but there's a chance that they start to drop out of that and become a mid-table team again, and this start of the season does look like a flash in the pan. But as I say, they've come up against three teams who, when they're at their best, can be excellent. So I think Manchester United probably fit into that category as well.
At their best, better than Forest is what I would
just
probably
about,
say.
Yeah, but just about, like, not even by much, but just about, which is what my 2-1 shows.
They're a different proposition at the City Ground, I think. Teams would fear them more so away from home. Tough enough, to use the cliche, place to go. But I think at Old Trafford, United, like Lenny Yarrow's getting more minutes in his legs. I'd like to see him put into the starting team quite soon. Casemiro and Eriksen didn't come off the bench against Arsenal midweek. Would lead you to believe they'll have at least an hour in them, you would presume, this weekend. Yeah. So, and then you have the likes of Xerxes with a bit of confidence after a couple of goals. Hoyland getting goals as well, which is really good to see. And my boy Amat, he's just involved in everything positive that United do. And I just see them getting goals this weekend. Again, at home, 3-1 have gone for.
Forest will love all this talk, of course, because they're still the only side to beat Liverpool this season.
Do you know what Forest's
and that's their best performance since, like, you know, Frank Clark was their manager. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were so good that day at Anfield, and that's, it just goes to the their away performance is the performance of this team.
I thought it was
an away performance.
I thought it was the West Ham game was the cherry on the top for me when Ola Aina's there, like, sitting on his Ribena afterwards, and they just smashed the team 3-0 and they're in like Champions League places. I'm like, Forest are back. I think we did a piece on the show actually that week. So that was
the off the ball kiss of death.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Possibly.
That was our fault.
Do you know what their nickname is, Nottingham Forest? Someone after discovering this.
This is
a good quiz. Well, there's probably a couple of nicknames, but this particular article that I had been reading is has given a very random nickname. The Tricky Trees. Did you know that?
Stop reading The Onion.
I think whoever wrote that's been smoking Tricky Trees.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, let's have a look at the next game. This should be an absolute...
I'm full of them this week. I don't know when that happened.
This should be an absolute cracker at the weekend. Spurs against Chelsea.
Oh,
and you can see a bit of variance now. John, the only person who's gone for a Tottenham win. Jura's gone for a 4-4 draw in this one between Tottenham and Chelsea.
You should get 12 points if that comes true.
Cullum going Chelsea 3-1 win. Kathleen going Chelsea 3-1 nil, 3-1 win. Nathan going for a 3-2 win. And Phil and Shane going for a Chelsea win.
Who do I have?
You're going for a draw. I am going for a draw as well.
Four odds is irresponsible. Like, there's a fella who's in a meeting.
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to take part anymore.
Any number will do. Like,
that's not
I've got
right.
Two all here, have I, though? It's
yeah.
Scored, like,
no,
there,
yeah,
is,
two all.
There is method to the four all. Like,
last season was wild.
Yeah,
wild.
Before was this the nine men game?
This was the 4-1 to Chelsea last season, where Spurs had hilariously high line. Where they
because
right
they had nine men.
Yeah,
halfway line. That was the most fun I could remember a Premier League game. It's like, this is the first time I've watched football and it doesn't look like football.
It was, that is exactly what it was. Yeah. You could see every player on screen at the same time. That's how condensed it was. That's how high Spurs were.
Amazing game.
And Jackson just kept running through. Or was it Jackson?
Jackson kept finishing.
Jackson kept getting through offside every time. Yeah, yeah.
And Eric Dyer played for Spurs that game as well.
Did he?
Like Bayern's Eric Dyer, and it just felt like a different lifetime ago. And Ange was having fun at the time. Do you remember how well Spurs started under Postecoglou? They won 8 of their first 10 games, drew the other 2, and now he's in despair again, because that's what Spurs seem to do to you.
They were very bad last night.
It was Ugarte.
Yeah, it could have been more.
Or sent off.
Ugarte.
Not Ugarte. Sorry.
The
fullback
called Adoghi.
Sorry, and
not many U footballers. In fairness,
that's the issue there. Well, yeah. Adoghi and the Argentinian centre back whose name. And now that I've got completely blank,
yeah.
Remember the VAR decision where it lifted up the leg.
Yeah.
That was everything. Just went haywire. It was just such an entertaining game.
Yeah.
But on last night, Bournemouth were so much better. Like 1-0 does not do justice. I was watching the full thing. Yeah. Must be like doing some work, you know, but I was actually just absorbed in
what do
this.
What for night. This, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This does feel like a low point in what Ange has done so far at Tottenham, because at least there was a bit of crack, a bit of attacking flair about Tottenham beforehand. And look, there was that opportunity that someone puts the ball in the back of the net and he was offside, but he was a yard or two offside. I just thought that Bournemouth were so far ahead of Tottenham last night, which is alarm bells for Spurs at this point. Like, they can hold a candle to most teams in the Premier League when they're on song. Like, going to Manchester City winning 4-0 is obviously evidence of this, but I'm not surprised that last night is the night where it might have changed for a few.
Also not surprised
fans.
They lost last night.
Not at all.
Do you know what I mean? I wasn't able to watch the match, and it was 1-0, and then I didn't see it until full time, and I was just like, I just have a feeling this is going to be 1-0. I can't see Spurs get back into it. Bournemouth is the type of game that you would nearly expect. A tough team to play against, well coached, like on form, but like obviously complete, very, very limited versus the talent in the Spurs team. And I think that's a real indictment. That's the type of thing we were just talking about 5 minutes ago about what was wrong with Ten Hag's Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you come up against a well-coached, organised team that are playing well, they're going to beat you. And I would see that as the biggest issue with Ange. He could go and beat Chelsea this week. Absolutely. They can get up for that kind of game. But if you can't do it on the Wednesday night against Bournemouth, seriously, it's such an indictment.
And I keep making this point all season. The Wednesday night at Bournemouth is like that traditional fixture is so much more difficult at the moment in the Premier League, whether it's Nottingham Forest, whether it's Fulham, whether it's Brighton. Yeah. And you look at just the players at their disposal.
Brentford.
Like, look at someone like Dean Howson last night, obviously grabbing the headlines, he scored his first goal and all that.
Juventus.
Like, exactly. Yeah. And you wouldn't be particularly surprised if he went on to have a great international career with Spain. I mean, the Dutch are going to be fuming that this guy is potentially defected to the Spanish.
Evan Nielsen. He would have never gone anywhere near a Bournemouth 5 years ago. Like,
these are exceptional teams.
Yeah.
So if you've got any bit of flimsiness about you, you will get exposed brutally.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what that actually says about Tottenham. I do, for the record, I think it is ridiculous for any Spurs fans to think that Ange is the problem. And the sole problem, and it should be Ange out. I don't necessarily believe that that's the right course of action at all. But I'm also, by the same token, not surprised that last night was the moment that they thought, wow, this is our lowest ebb since late stage Conte.
It looks like Spurs are breaking Ange's heart.
Yes.
Just can't believe this club. Like, and we actually had a big debate about it on the breakfast show this morning with Arthur. Yeah. And Arthur was like, no, he thinks it's more the manager and I think it's the culture. Like, the, you know, lads at Spurs. So before the show this morning, I was like, Antonio Conte's rant after the Southampton game when he was Spurs manager. I was like, when was that again? That was only last year. That was the start of last year. That was March 2023. Do you remember that game? They threw it away. It was like 3-3. And then he went to the press conference afterwards. And, it, you know, Giovanni Trapattoni at Bayern, it was one of those ones, just softer. He wasn't banging the table as much, but he was fiddling around with the mics and trying to get his point across. Where he went on this monologue of disbelief at the culture of Spurs. And the cutting line was, these don't like pressure. They don't like when they're stressed.
Mm.
Because they don't like to play for trophies.
That's damning, isn't it?
How do you fix that? Why does that go through the generations? You know, it is weird. It was a weird thing with culture of football clubs. So we were literally just talking about on the NFL pod, just a small thing about like the Falcons are making the same mistakes that they made last year, but they've got a different quarterback, they've got a different coach and set up. Everything about what way they play and the decisions they make should be completely irrelevant to what they did in the past. Mm. But that's almost never the case. And there are teams with that kind of culture that's endemic, like Spurs. And I don't know, like, I can't imagine it's like coming from Daniel Levy.
No.
You know what I mean? I'd have loads of criticisms for him, but I can't imagine he's influencing what the dressing room feels like.
Mm.
It is just very, very strange. But if you, like, I understand where Arthur's coming from because I know how he feels about Ange. And he's got a point that ultimately he hasn't succeeded so far at Spurs. And because of what you can do in Scotland, he's ultimately an unproven coach, right?
Mm.
So that's a fair point. But Conte's not an unproven coach. Mourinho's not an unproven coach. Like, you know, anyway, I'm forgetting names today, but there's loads of Spurs managers and it's going through generations who've done unbelievably well elsewhere.
Yeah.
Pochettino, obviously, is who I was trying to think of.
I mean, it goes back to the Giorgio Chiellini line. It's the history of the Tottenham, like that cultural piece. It's a really interesting one. There's definitely an item on the show sometime about like how that actually transcends through different managers and different sets of players. However, we should state for the record here that we did have our Tottenham in semi-crisis conversation on this slot a few weeks ago and we were kind of questioning James Madison, would Pochettino actually start against Manchester City? And he went out and smashed it that weekend. Manchester City. So there is every chance that they go out and do that against Chelsea this week.
Are you saying they're listening to who you got, the players, and they're watching 100%. Back and then using it as
we're channeling energy.
Forrest were listening to us earlier and
this
Spurs.
Game was 4-1 Chelsea last season in North London. Now, albeit Spurs had a couple of players sent off, but like this fixture is gold.
We're laughing. I'm just imagining all the players around the wireless. Listen to who you got. So.
Also, just for Mick. Just a couple of footballers, begin with the letter U for Mick. So we've got, apart from Manuel Ugarte, you've got Thomas Ufolosi, Samuel Umtiti, Matt Upson, of course.
Yeah.
Upamecano was another one.
Diet.
Sven Unger, and we'll give even Ugo Ehiogie, I suppose, begins with a letter U.
Unal.
Well, his first name is also
excellent. Shout. Yeah.
Unal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure where that tangent came from, but I liked it. Thank you very much.
I got two U players confused.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Unai Emery, of course, begins with U as well.
David Unsworth.
Yeah, good one.
How could we forget?
Excellent answer. Thanks for playing, folks.
Right, let's finish up by looking at the WSL fixture this week, which is Manchester United versus Liverpool. Nobody's picking a Liverpool win here. Colm, you're going for a draw. I'm going for a Manchester United win. Mick, you are going for a United win. And Shane is going for a draw. So it looks like people are favouring Manchester United in this one.
I'm trying to learn my lesson on this one from last time when I went for a high scoring United game. United don't score goals. No. They don't really concede goals. But they're probably just a little bit ahead of Liverpool at the moment. That's a bit, to be honest, I think we're in guesswork in terms of what the result's going to be here. But I do know, I feel it'll be tight. And that's more what kind of lent towards my decision than specifically the United win. But I've gone for low scoring and 1-0. Two, I think, flawed teams that would like to be more on the up than they are. I've seen United 3-4 times this year and I don't like them. They're bad to watch. They really are. They're a really poor team to watch. And but they're getting results. Do you know what I mean? They're getting results. So I've just gone for the sneak this one.
Do you remember your description of the game 2 weeks
ago? The worst game I've ever seen in my life.
The ball was literally never in play.
A throw will come out for another throw.
I've gone for a score draw because like the same rationale as you, as I look at the stats beforehand and they're both in really poor form. So I always think that Costa's thrown to the wind when two bad teams, bad form teams, meet each other. So Liverpool haven't lost three in a row in the WSL since November 22.
Right.
And United only had three shots the last time out against Chelsea. Okay. So I feel like they'll both come out and show each other what they have.
Sorry, have all three of us gone for score draws? Is that right?
I've gone for 1-0 to United.
I've gone for United.
It won't be who you got, they're saying to each other. It'll be what you got.
Oh, very good. See what he's done there? That was excellent. I've gone for 2-2. Yeah, I've gone for 2-2 in this game. I predicted, in fairness, United to beat Chelsea in the WSL before the international break. That didn't happen. But I'd like to think they will somewhat rekindle the start they had to the season where they won the first few games.
Mark Skinner, the Manchester United manager, has been out talking about the impact of the international break on his team. He says, Wales qualifying for the European Championship is a bittersweet one for us because we've got elation and we've obviously got Aoife Mannion who will feel terrible. Wow, okay, way to rub the salt into Aoife Mannion's wounds there.
Well, there you go.
But it is true. I presume she's not immediately going to be available this weekend.
That's the one good thing about feeling terrible, is you have nothing to lose. Like, so you just go out there and try and get yourself into better form.
That's philosophical, very philosophical. Well,
I don't think we can top that now.
The one good thing about feeling terrible is you go out there and do your stuff. So just somebody's.
Well, if you feel terrible, right, you don't want to feel terrible anymore.
Just don't worry about it.
So it makes you feel better. Lacing up the boots and getting out on the pitch.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Doing what you grew with. This is what you wanted to do when you were growing up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, enjoy this weekend's football.
Great advice.
A pleasure chatting to you, as always. Same time, same place, next week on Who You Got. We'll take a quick break.
If you look at the last 8 years, there's been 5 trophies, and the vast majority...
I'm glad you looked at 8 years, anyway, not 3.
But don't worry, that's the first part of the question. I'm seeing it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.